This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I got all the love in the world.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Curry dribbles on him. Step back, jumper on the way. Good!
Cleveland Cavalier fans booed this man.
Yeah.
Who boos Steph Curry?
Earlier on the show, Tampa Bay Times Bucks writer Rick Stroud, Rams offensive tackle Andrew Whitworth. Coming up, Stanford head coach David Shaw, from Apple TV's Ted Lasso, actor Nick Mohammed. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. One of my favorite television shows, Ted Lasso, available on Apple TV, seasons one and two. Nick Mohammed, who plays the coach Nate the Great. He will be joining us in 20 minutes' time. It'll be a fun conversation with him. We've already had a great chat in hours one and two with Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times and Diana Russini of ESPN about the situations in Tampa Bay and Green Bay. We covered the Bays in hour number one. And then in hour number two, Andrew Whitworth, the Super Bowl champion, who has yet to pay for a meal in two-plus weeks. And the reigning Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner, they called in. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for anything that you may have missed. Combine time next week. Gents, combine time, which means we are full-blown in the talent evaluation portion of the calendar with the new league year right behind it. So many moving pieces going on. And to talk about that and so much more, somebody who I've done the draft with for quite some time, the head coach of Stanford football, David Shaw, back here on the program. How are you doing, David? You there, David? Hello, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Coach. What's going on?
Hey, not much. I'm just grateful that I'm not following Nate the Great. I'm very grateful that I am before Nate because I know he's going to bring the house down.
What do you think of Ted Lasso? What do you think of his coaching style, David Shaw? What do you think of that?
I love the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Its relation to reality is somewhat possibly distant.
Does that mean you can't coach soccer? Come on now.
Oh,
come
on. Gosh. Oh, I can coach it. I don't think we'll have positive results. But I love the show. I love the actors. I love the combination of personalities. It's just it's a lot of fun.
Do you have like that a sign in your locker room, like Believe or anything like that? Do you have something similar that you've ever posted in your coaching career?
There's a sign that I twisted a bit of a quote from Aristotle that I have in the locker room that just says, greatness is the result of repeated intentional actions. Just one of those things to ponder on, that greatness is not the result of just your talent. Greatness is the result of what you do every single day.
Now, unfortunately for you, or fortunately for you, is you probably have some players in your locker room that could call you out on that not being an accurate quote of Aristotle. That's the Stanford thing right there, Coach.
That's the disclaimer. Every single time I bring it up, I say, this is not the exact quote. I twisted it for my own purposes. Just to make sure, because I know guys take philosophy classes here, they will see it and come back and find me.
They'll call you out. yes, the vagaries, but also pleasures of being the head coach at Stanford football. So, first blush, Coach, is that this quarterback class that's coming out isn't one of the best that we've seen in some time, and is kind of less than. Would you agree with that assessment? Going into the combine week?
I would agree that you don't have the typical headliner. You know, at least usually there's at least one headliner, if not two. But there's some good ones out there, and I'm a big fan of the quarterback coming out of Ole Miss. I think he's got something special. He's got live legs. He's got an accurate arm. He's got a strong arm. I think he's going to be one that has got a chance to be a good one.
No kidding. So Matt Corral would be if and again, this is something that you might do at some point, making a list of a quarterback board. Matt Corral would be the one on the top of your list, David Shaw, for the NFL?
Early on, I haven't formally started my
right
pre-draft, but just watching throughout the year, watching teams that play well, which I do every year. I always watch and see what other offenses are doing. And I've gotten to know Lane well over the years and like a lot of things they do down there. And this kid can really make all the throws and, you know, battle through some injuries, showed some toughness. But when he's healthy and you put a group around him, you know, he's got a chance to be a playmaker.
Okay, because the concept that the NFL draft is kind of devoid of difference-making quarterbacks, certainly right here and right now, that's kind of a narrative that that seems pretty solidified to me as I go to the combine next week, Coach. You know?
Yeah, and I think there's some other guys that are overshadowing the quarterbacks. I think you've got some really nice pass rushers. You've got some big offensive linemen. So there, I think the top of the draft still has some great players. But we're all just used to having some headliner at the quarterback. But we also know quarterbacks taken at the end of round one all the way through round three can end up being really good football players.
So tell me about this Thibodeau kid. I mean, because that's the conversation, I guess, that'll be top of the draft, either him or Aiden Hutchinson. What are your two cents on that subject matter, Coach Shaw?
Yeah, you know, Aiden gives you a little bit more length, but Kayvon is a above-the-line pass rusher. His quickness, his explosion, his variety of pass rush moves, he's got some freaky athletic ability that just ends up making plays on Sundays, and this kid's got it in spades.
David Shaw, Stanford University head football coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. So before we get into some issues about coaching and college and things of that nature, for this, you know, talent evaluation portion of the calendar and everything that we're looking at right now, you're saying again that if you're looking to hit that line, this is the draft for you. You're in good shape. You need to protect your guy. You need to go hit that pass rusher. This is the one for you, this draft at the top.
First blush for me, that's what I've seen a lot of. You know, we all know that the running back position is being devalued. There's some good backs that I've seen, but the offensive linemen and pass rushers, I think that's going to be a good chunk of that first round, and deservedly so. That kid out of Michigan, there's two kids out of Michigan that first glance just watched a couple plays, have some quickness and explosion, and we've all seen what happens if you can get after the other team's passer. You got a great chance to win.
So I spoke to Lovie Smith the other day, sir, and he was singing the praises of Davis Mills and how that this kid could, you know, absolutely be their guy going into 2022. As you all know, with five first rounders last year and Mac Jones doing what he did and everybody else with Justin Fields, we paid attention to that group, not Mills. Do you think he can be a real good, if not championship, starting quarterback in the NFL, David Shaw, for the Texans?
You know, what Davis did last year, didn't start early, played some games in the middle, and then finished up. He's arguably the second best rookie quarterback this past year behind Mac, and in some places probably outperformed Mac. This is part of our conversations with Davis, whether or not he was going to come back, because just as you mentioned, this quarterback class isn't great. If Davis would have come back, I feel very strongly that he would be the top quarterback in draft. So the Texans just got the top quarterback in the draft a year ahead of when he would have been the top quarterback. So now here you've got a quarterback that when you put the film on, I watched like the last five or six games that he played, this guy's as good as anybody in the NFL in the red zone. Strong arm, better athlete than you think, really bright kid, smart kid, picks it up, learns from his mistakes. I think they've got a legitimate starter there that's got a chance to be the franchise guy, and hopefully they can put some pieces around him and have some fun down there in Houston.
How's Andrew Luck doing? What's going on with him? What's up with
Andrew
him?
Luck is doing better than all of us combined.
Okay.
He knows himself. He's comfortable with himself. The rest of us would love to see him go out there and sling it around. But his career is too short, obviously, but it was an amazing experience for him. And now he's moved on. He's a husband and a father and looking for that next chapter in his life.
What is it? Is it anything to do with football, do you think?
I'm not sure. I think he's got, as you can imagine, he's got a million opportunities. But he's enjoying life, and he's taking his time. I mean, he's got 40 years to figure it out. Minimum. So he's just one of those guys that's looking at a lot of different things. He's been in touch with a lot of different people. I think when he does dive into his next enterprise, it'll be something that benefits people. So that's all I'm comfortable saying right now. I think he's a very conscientious person, and he still, beyond football, wants to make an impact in our society.
And, you know, McCaffrey, after absolutely tearing things up, can't stay healthy, has an inability to stay healthy. And you know that was the red flag. The false red flag was the business of not playing in your bowl game. That to me was a false red flag from the beginning. But the red flag about him, well, running between the tackles in this grown-ass man league could be a big problem for him. And now he is not finished up. I'm wondering what you make of his career to this point, David Shaw.
I think it says a lot about the NFL. He had one injury here in 3 years at Stanford. He ran a lot between the tackles, probably more than anybody in the country for the most part. But it's a brutal league, and, you know, things happen. I know one was a hamstring, which has nothing to do with his size or contact. But I'll tell you this, there's not anybody else in the NFL that I would bet more for than Christian McCaffrey. His mentality, his off-season work, what I've heard about him taking care of his body and preparing – trust me, he's going to be ready come August.
Okay. A few minutes left with Stanford head coach David Shaw here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't usually ask you this question directly, but I'll just do it anyway this time around. Did you get on any calls for head coaching opportunities in the NFL? Does your phone ring at all?
I take the fifth.
Okay. You plead the fifth. Okay. Because I think you'd be... I tell you this to your face, and I tell you this all the time, and I talk about you when you're not on the show. I think you would be phenomenal at that endeavor, should you ever choose to do it. You know, the conversation about hiring people of color is a significant one right now, and Brian Flores having sued the league with Mike Tomlin having hired him as his special defensive assistant. Do you have any thoughts on the subject matter that you'd like to share? What a fix, for the lack of a phrase, might be, or what the issue is, David Shaw?
Yeah, this is a tough one. As you can imagine, I've answered this question a million times, partially also because I'm the son of a football coach. My dad was almost the head coach multiple times, so I'm well-versed in this conversation. There are two things that are hard to rectify together. First and foremost, is that when you are hiring someone, no one can tell you who to hire, right? It just, you have to be able to hire the best person, right? Mm-hmm. And for the rest of us, and I include all of us in this, is trying to make sure that we have the best viable candidates regardless of race. But that has to be inclusive. That group has to be grown. That group has to have access to people in positions of power. People who are hiring, there are a lot of conversations about, okay, how do we influence the decision makers? How do we, you know, and this is an off season where two men of color were hired as general managers. And so that is a huge step up. There are a lot of all the 32 teams, a lot of them are very diverse as far as race, as far as gender, mm-hmm. equity. The league has grown a lot in those areas. The two big areas that show lacking diversity are ownership and head coaches. So that's a really, really difficult thing for us to push on. But from my standpoint, people I've talked to, Mike Loxley's doing a great job in this area. I know the NFL has tried as well, but really having a groundswell of legitimate people of color that have opportunity and the ability to be head coaches and to have those people have access to the decision makers.
And again, I know how much you love Stanford and being there, and your family loves being there. I'm wondering if, you know, the way that the college football world is going with transfer portals and NIL deals and attracting talent being so crucial, to have transfer portals opened up and NIL deals available, does that change the dynamic for you at Stanford in any way, shape, or form, Coach David Shaw?
Thankfully, here at Stanford, there's the educational value is the highest you can find in college sports. So we are attracting a different kind of person that is not just short-sighted as far as how much money can you put by hand, but have the long vision of this education, the people that I'm going to meet, the contacts that I'm going to have, the off-season, my internships that I'm going to have are going to help influence the rest of my life beyond somebody putting cash in my hand. At the same time, we are contributing and educating our guys on NIL. But I think we're one of those places that's a little bit more protected than others,
right?
Because we have something really, really special off of the football field.
Right. But does it matter that it might not lead to more W's than other places that don't have that sort of dynamic, Coach?
That's a great question coming off a difficult year for us. But I really like our team. I think we've got one of the best quarterbacks that we will be talking about next year's draft.
Okay.
We've got an outstanding group of skill positions around them. I think one of the best on the West Coast between receivers, running backs, and tight ends. So I think we have a chance to do some really some special things. And I've always felt this: when Stanford football wins, college football wins. Right? Because here's an example that we can have here, right, over our last decade, when it being one of the top 10 winningest programs in college football, doing it the right way, doing it with scholar athletes, doing it within the rules, and going out there and producing great talent like two guys we've talked about, Andrew Luck, Christian McCaffrey, Solomon Thomas, et cetera. We're doing it the right way and doing it with the right people. And when we win, I believe college football wins.
All right. Well, I don't usually ask this question on the air again of somebody else, let alone another happily married man, but I'm seeing you in Vegas, right? We're going to Vegas together, right?
Yeah, we're working on it. We're working on it.
All right.
It looks like it fits in my schedule, and I hope to join you all.
Look, Coach, I just love our chats. I love getting to hang with you and getting to pick your brain and being around you, and I just think the world of you. So, and every single time you say yes when I say come on the show, I really appreciate it. So thank you. Thanks.
Anytime, Rich. Thanks, man.
You're the best. You take care. Best to you and your family. That's Coach David Shaw, Stanford football, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I think Andrew Luck would be great on television, by the way. I know his voice sounds a little bit...
Well, Rich, I mean, I'm just...
I know, but I think he would be terrific at it if he wants to get on planes.
Well, this is what I wanted to do earlier.
Fly around the country.
I wanted to do this earlier. Maybe we can do it tomorrow. Who's the best now pairing for Joe Buck?
I
for
think
Al Michaels?
Andrew Luck would be spectacular at analyzing games, if that's what he wants to do.
Better than Tom Brady?
I just don't know if Tom Brady would want to do it. I don't know.
For $20 million, he might.
The test, please. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Aikman's getting $18 million a year.
I know that. I know. But you just made mention as to how much money he made in his career. His playing career.
True. I mean, Tom left a lot in the team.
I don't know, man. I think Luck would be terrific. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. Nick Muhammad, the man who plays Nate the Great on Ted Lasso, a show that I adore and love. He will be joining us next on The Rich Eisen Show. Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Balls. Let me tell you about them. The family of Chrome Soft Golf Balls has the best tour performance for every type of performance. I'm telling you, if you're a certain level of golfer and you're outstanding, there's a Chrome Soft for you. If you stink on ice, like me, there's a Chrome Soft for me. And I can tell the difference between a Chrome Soft and not. And the Chrome Soft X, great spin consistency and tour level short game control. I use the regular Chrome Soft, designed for the widest range of golfers who want better feel, more distance, incredible forgiveness. I can tell the difference between this golf ball and others. And the Chrome Soft XLS gives you a lower spin golf ball and longer shots, firmer feel, still high spin around the greens. Every Chrome Soft is enhanced with precision technology, which uses design techniques and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. And that's how you can ensure the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible for you. When you add it all up, it's so simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. When we come back, the actor Nick Muhammad right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
On the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I love this television show.
Yeah.
My wife. Susie loves this television show. When Susie and I watch Ted Lasso and the credits roll, we are invariably looking at each other doing two things. One, saying, when is the next one? When can we see the next one? Please tell me there are more of them. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is we're like drying our eyes. It is a beautiful television show.
It's great.
It is funny. It is beautiful. It is inspiring. It is moving. It is all that plus the biscuit. And part of the reason why is not just the writing, but it is the acting in it as well. And thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is a man who plays Nate the Great, who has gone from team, I guess, assistant and trainer or what have you, all the way up to coaching, and now rival. My gosh. The actor Nick Muhammad here on The Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, Rich, I'm really good. Thanks so much for having me.
A pleasure. Just a pleasure. You are awesome in your job. You are awesome at what you do, and this show is incredible. I'm sure you hear that a lot. So let me just add.
Very kind of you. Thank you.
So when you first took this job, was your character's storyline arc mapped out for you at the time, Nick?
I believe it was, yeah. I quite distinctly remember we were filming, I think, the gala episode in season one, which is around about episode 3 or 4, and it was before seasons 2 and 3 had been commissioned. But I remember Jason sort of sitting me down and just sort of explaining to me the broad kind of arc for Nate if this was to kind of go from season to season. So yeah, I mean, you know, it just goes to show how smart that kind of those writers and creators are in the writers' room. Just, you know, they had it all mapped out, and not just for Nate, they've got everyone's character arcs kind of mapped out. And and when he obviously told me, I was kind of both thrilled and terrified because I kind of knew it was going to take such a heel turn in season 2.
I mean, my gosh, Nate, I got to be honest with you. I was disappointed. I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in you.
You're not the first person to say. I mean, a lot of people have quite rightly as well been sort of disappointed by Nate's actions and his behavior. You know, whether it's part of a redemption arc, I genuinely don't know. I mean, we literally start filming, you know, next week.
Oh, you do?
We do, and I'm yet to see the scripts yet. I don't have all the details to hand, sadly.
So you get handed them, and I imagine you pore over them just like any other fan would, like I would. That's for darn sure.
Completely. I mean, I think people forget, particularly fans of the show, like as a cast, we're all, you know, some of the biggest fans of the show as well. So when we get sent these scripts, we're, you know, desperate to know not just obviously what's happening to the characters that we play, but, you know, I want to know about Roy and Keeley, and I want to know more about Ted, and, you know, what's going to happen with Rebecca. And, you know, there's so many, you know, storylines that I'm kind of equally excited by. And so we pour over those scripts as soon as we get them.
Actor Nick Muhammad, who plays Nate the Great here from Ted Lasso on the Rich Eisen show. And I would imagine, so do you have a real life side team that you root for in any way, shape, or form, Nick?
You know what? I don't, sadly. I kind of am not a huge football fan, which is, you know, my dad is, and he's delighted that I'm finally sort of, you know, in a show about football, but I you know, I never really played it as a kid, and I think he probably wanted me to. So I don't really have a team at all, no.
But you know the scenario in the Premier League where somebody like Ted Lasso comes in and takes over a club, what the reaction would be. I mean, this is...
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. So I kind of knew enough to sort of, you know, kind of get through. And, you know, I guess, I mean, weirdly, Ted Lasso has sort of taught me a lot more about football than I previously knew. So, yeah.
And you know, the character Roy Kent is spot on, right? Played by Brett Goldstein. Like, that is exactly who somebody who would be like. And the football player here in America, Aaron Rodgers, came on our show a few months ago, and he said he would love to be the Roy Kent of the NFL whenever he retires. Just go on TV and just lay waste to everybody, you know, like that.
Yeah, I love that character. It's such a, there's sort of a almost like elder statesman kind of quality to it. That, you know, now he's matured and I guess retired from the sport, that he can now, he can really sort of say it how it is, and it certainly doesn't hold back.
Nick Muhammad here on the Rich Eisen show again. He plays Nate the Great here on the program. So, which is your favorite moment for your character in the first two seasons, where you're like, you know what, this is a great scene. It could be a good line, good funny line. It could be a laugh line. It could be a line that is the exact opposite, or scene, or what have you. Which one is that for you?
In season one, I really liked the roast where he, I think it's episode 7, where he roasts the players. He thinks that, yes, you know, he's written down all this stuff about the players, and he gives it to Ted, thinking Ted's going to do it, and then Ted sort of throws it back at him and says, no, you're going to do it. And he approached it really nervously, but then, you know, manages to kind of get into his stride. And that was just a fun scene to do, because I think it marks a kind of good turning point in terms of the character's trajectory in season one, in particular, in terms of building confidence. And it was just a fun scene to do with all those, you know, the guys who play the footballers. It was just fun sort of pretending to lay into them. And that was a fun one. And then I guess, even though it wasn't particularly nice to perform, you know, the final scene between Ted and Nate, in fact the only scene purely between Ted and Nate in season two, is where he massively lays into him in episode 12 in the season finale, and he just tells him that he feels abandoned, and that he's, you know, that Ted's let him down. He really lays into him, and it was quite painful to do. And, you know, Jason is so brilliant, and you know, it felt very real as well. It felt kind of quite raw. We talked about it for a long, long time, and, you know, I knew that it was kind of coming for a long time while we were filming season two, that it was all going to be kind of building towards this point. So once we filmed it, it was kind of a bit of a release of pressure, but it was a difficult one to do, but I think a fulfilling one to do ultimately as well.
What do you mean talk about it for a long time? What do you mean by that, Nick?
Well, I guess we had, you know, I knew that scene, that there was going to be this outburst between Nate and Ted at some point, but I knew that it didn't come till season 12. So a lot often there were so many kind of moments in season two where Nate would give Ted a look, or there'd be something unspoken between them. And Jason and you know, the other writers and creators on that show would always say, you just got to kind of save this feeling, because it's not going to, you know, you're not going to get to explicitly say what you want to say as Nate until the very end of the season. But you kind of, we have to sort of show this mounting pressure. So we just spoke about the kind of that sort of growing unease inside of Nate, and him just, you know, getting sort of so tense between him and the other players, and his attitude towards Ted, until finally in episode 12, he kind of erupts and, you know, the dam breaks, and he just says everything that he probably shouldn't have said, but kind of has to at this point.
In terms of dams breaking, who's the easiest to crack up on this, on the show?
Hannah's quite easy to break.
She is.
Hannah and I sort of share a kind of knowing glance that sets us off. Jeremy, who plays Higgins, really knows how to kind of crack me up, I think, just with a little sound or a little sideways look that cracks me. But all of us, I mean, you know, Brett as well laughs a lot, Phil laughs a lot. You know, we're so lucky to be a part of the show because we get to kind of go to work and have a good old giggle.
What a joy. It certainly is from my point of view, just sitting there. And again, my wife and I watch it. I do believe you're going to speak to her as soon as you hang up from me
for
her podcast. Yes, Nick, and I appreciate that. So you're going to it's a family affair for you this morning. but you know, it's just so moving for us, and it's so beautiful for us, and we're like lamenting every single time an episode ends, and then the long wait. So. Is this really the last season, the one that you're shooting, or is there
I genuinely don't know. I mean, I think that from a story point of view, I know that Jason has said and Brendan has said quite openly that they had three seasons in mind for the story that they wanted to tell. Who knows what might happen after then? But I genuinely don't know. I'm not being deliberately evasive or anything.
Okay.
I both hope it's not, because it's been such a joy and it's so great getting to act with those people. You know, we're together sort of the 6 months of the year. But then equally, if they feel that the story is told after three seasons, then I really respect that. As you know, as writers, I think that's a smart thing to do rather than fizzle out. But you know, who knows? Who knows? Let's see.
And then obviously, you know, there's other projects for you to do in your career. And Intelligence is seen right here on Peacock. We're on Peacock right now. You know, with you and David Schwimmer, and you know, and my wife and I were also huge fans of Game of Thrones. And did you know right away that Hannah Waddingham was the shame nun?
I did.
You did know
I
that.
I did know that. Was
took me a long time to realize that. That was a huge epiphany for my wife and I.
That must have been huge, because it's a great, that's such a great iconic kind of moment in Game of Thrones as well. So having that moment must have been fun for you and your wife, because it's a big one.
We're like, oh my God, how can that be the same person and actress? And then she sings, in the karaoke episode, and it's incredible. She's remarkable, you know.
Well, she's phenomenal. Well, Hannah was brought up, you know, that was her bread and butter, you know, for years and years, doing, you know, incredible musical theatre, and she has. I mean, she's just got the most phenomenal voice. It's so great that, you know, we get to kind of see that, not just at that in the karaoke scene, but in the funeral scene in season
That's right.
two, when she sings Rick Astley. What's it called? Never Gonna Give You Up.
That's right. she Rickrolled everybody. She Rickrolled the whole. She Rick Astley'd everybody. So that was incredible. Yeah. Incredible. The show is great. You're great, Nick. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate
Thanks,
it, man.
Rich.
Thank you for
Thanks
the call.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Right back at you. At Nick Muhammad on Twitter. Everyone can watch the first two episodes of Ted Lasso, first two seasons of Ted Lasso on Apple TV. And if you haven't done it yet, I am jealous that you are new to it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rich. As soon as one ends.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh my gosh. As soon as one ends, you're just like, should I just rewatch it? When's the next one come out?
Yeah, because they do it. They don't do it like Netflix, where they just throw them all out there.
Right.
It is once a week.
Once a week.
But now they're all out there. You do have the opportunity to binge it.
You watch it,
TJ, or you don't watch it?
I did, and I loved it, but I don't have Apple Plus, so I haven't been able to watch anything past the first season.
Okay, well,
but I completely loved the first season.
My gosh!
Give you a login.
Unbelievable!
It's great.
It's truly beautiful, and the crazy thing is, this show mirrors two of the hot sports topics in, you know, sports today: mental health and owner of a team saying we want you to lose. I'm serious. You can snort or laugh all you want, but that's why Ted Lasso was hired in the first place, and you'll see that. I'm not spoiling anything.
It's right off the bat.
It's kind of like that major league storyline.
Yeah, I said that when this whole thing came up, and you said you can't see it happening. I'm like, entire movies are made out of this premise.
It wasn't
and
a
TV
financial
shows.
Transaction in Ted Lasso, but
it's not. Well, they just hire this coach out
Who
of
knows nothing
college football in the middle of the country, but a small school coach, right? And say
Wichita,
and they say that he's now the new manager of AFC Richmond. which, by the way, you can follow on Twitter. You can follow, there's so many Twitter accounts that have been created. The Ted Lasso Twitter account, the AFC Richmond Twitter account. The AFC Richmond Twitter account on occasion will have Roy Kent material that just pops up out of nowhere that is brilliantly funny.
He's here, he's there.
They are starting to shoot season 3, and may there be many more, please. That would be incredible.
Hopefully.
All right, when we take a break, there is something about the combine that's going to change this year. All right, it's involving my run. I can't wait to tell you about this. That is next right here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. So my friends in the social media departments of the National Football League getting ready for the combine. Did you see the new banner heading on at NFL?
No.
Many faces of the 40-yard dash. The faces are J.J. Watt, Derrick Henry, Joey Bosa, Patrick Mahomes.
Jalen Ramsey?
I think that's Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
DB 43 in his day. And then there's me. And there's me.
Wow.
Many so faces big. Of the 40-yard dash at NFL. And I was just scrolling through, you know, making sure World War III wasn't terribly out of control and doom scrolling and all of that. And then I finally came across an NFL tweet, an at NFL tweet.
Oh.
At someone who can't beat you in 40-yard dash. And I added on the spot, as you can see, it took me 2 minutes to at Cheetah, who is wow. Tyreek Hill.
You really went there, huh?
I did. And so then I started waiting for the response, see if there would be a response. You know, just took. I figured I'll just linger here for 60 seconds, 90 seconds to see the response. It took him literally a minute to then at DK Metcalf in response to me. So I wrote back, yes, him too.
Okay, wait.
And that has put a little light bulb over my head for this year's run. Now, last year, my annual run for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital was not held in Indianapolis at the Combine because last year there was no Combine in Indianapolis, as we all know, which led to the conversation this year about bubbling up, and the folks who were being bubbled up were like, what are you doing? Because we have no access to everything that we're used to running and performing. And why are we doing this? And, you know, last year the draft kind of went down and it kind of worked out even without a combine. So maybe we just don't combine at all this year because you're bubbling it up. Remember that happened earlier this week? And then the bubble got pierced and everything is now copacetic and we're ready to roll for the combine next week.
Ready to roll.
And so last year when there was no combine, decided to have my run anyway, thanks to a whole host of people, not only at St. Jude, but at NFL Network, but my friend Mark Lurie, who is now the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And he got together with a whole bunch of big-hearted, extremely generous people from the world of business and Tracy Perlman from the NFL Legends Department said, I can send some legends over there. And so 8 members of the business community who donated very generously to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital were paired up with a member of the NFL Legends community, and we raced. We raced at SoFi Stadium,
yeah,
and
awesome.
Which opened up its doors specifically, well, not for this, but for the Rams had a season ticket holder event. It was the first time the Rams had fans of theirs in the building. It was on the day that we ran this. And then, as we all know, the Rams wound up winning the Super Bowl there. And, you know, I'm saying there's no coincidence. When you do something nice,
You should take that as a coincidence.
You know what? I'm just saying. We had a great year last year doing this run there in SoFi, and so we're going to do it again. And the plans are already there, and a little light bulb has gone over my head about DK Metcalf or Tyreek Hill, and I'm going to try and cultivate that caper, to be very honest with you. So I'm not running at the combine next week is essentially what I'm saying.
Got it.
And thanks to, you know, Charlie Yook and the rest of NFL Network with Louise Carter, and I give, you know, tons of shout-outs from here to then as well, and Dallas Hitchcock's group, they put together the features. We're going to run it on the third day of the of the draft again, this time in Vegas. We're going to let it roll. So we're going to run it back.
Yes.
We're going to run it back this year.
Okay.
In SoFi in April, which also gives me a little bit more runway to get ready for it.
Which means you haven't started yet.
That's correct.
Got it.
That's very much correct.
Today?
You know what? I'm on this 12-day cleanse, and let me tell you about it.
Could you beat Chris? I've been wondering this the whole time.
No, he can't.
In a 40?
Yeah.
He can't.
When was the last time you ran a 40?
I ran a 40 at the Houston Super Bowl because they had it set up at NFL Experience.
Dude, that's years ago.
I went 5'3".
In what? In just regular clothes?
Just in whatever I had on that day, yeah.
You know that the at the event there,
Rich, you can't.
It's not accurate.
You're not going to beat me in a 40.
I'm just saying the following. It is not as easy as you think.
Rich, I played. I played football.
Not as easy as you think. It is so not. I know you played football. You know who also played football? Jerry Rice played football last year. Because you asked me before the show, are we going to tournament it up again?
Yeah, tournament style.
Because the idea last year
was really cool.
Well, that was what we were going to do.
And Michael Vick is, I think he has something.
But then he, like everyone else, started, coming up with the old soft tissue injuries.
Well, these guys aren't like training. Well, they're in the media.
They were trying to train.
Yeah. Jerry Rice is 60.
Let me tell you something.
I can't even watch.
I saw Jerry Rice at the Super Bowl this year, day before, for Courtyard. Courtyard had me, he and I did something together at SoFi. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I'm like, you know what? Hey, Jerry, heads up. Look for my call again this year. Because, you doing it is huge. And if you're available and you're up for doing it again, he's like, absolutely up for doing it again. Great. So I gave him a date and he's trying to make sure he makes it this year. But he gave me this look and I knew what the look was. The look was, do not expect me to run it more than once. I have been fortunate to do a lot in my career, certainly with the NFL Network since being there since 2003 and getting to know people like Jerry Rice and getting to be so fortunate to have like the NFL Legends community say, sure, we'll come out for your run and all that business. But nothing when last year was set up with, okay, NFL legend hooked up with philanthropist, benefactor, entrepreneur, whatever you want to call them, and we've called them entrepreneurs, that team, each one would run, we would take the average time, and then in the same bracket, we take another team's average time, and whoever had the slowest, or the fastest speed moved on to the semifinals, and then whoever in that second run had the fastest, and we bracketed it, would move on to the finals, and then the third run would determine who wins the Run Rich Run.
That's a great idea.
It's a great idea. It was great in theory.
In theory,
until everybody started dropping like flies.
Yeah.
And nothing was more intimidating. Well, I mean, talking to Jim Brown once was, but nothing was more intimidating for me, I guess, last year. Going up to Jerry Rice as he's theragunning his quads and his, TFLs and his everything and his hamstrings and saying, Jerry, we want you to run it again. Can you run it again? Because a bunch of other people aren't running it again because they can't.
Right.
And the look he gave me was the look he gave me couple weeks ago when I asked him to do it again.
Like
so
the Jonah Hill,
the Legends community has already been given the heads up. It's a one run
one shot deal. Done. Okay.
And whoever has the average fastest time of just the one run, you win.
That's it. That's fair.
That's it.
That's fair. Fair to ask of these guys.
That's it. There's no tournament.
It hurts.
Late 50s.
Running it three times. I run it three times sometimes, you know, because I got to break 6 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't want to make that phone call home and get the, oh, honey, you know, you can't, like.
Come on, one more try.
Well, I'm going down that road again because I haven't trained a lick. And it's now, I think, 6 weeks before we do it or 7 weeks before we do it.
And
one of those weeks is sticking in Indianapolis. We have no plan.
Well, Rich, boxers usually have training camp 7 weeks out of a fight. So this is the perfect time.
This is it now. Okay. Well, at any rate, that's that 12-day cleanse starts today. I've read the details on it, the gory details.
There's got to be a drop for this.
Then he started doodling.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, goodness.
Remember that from Eddie Murphy Raw beginning when the little kid was telling the joke to his parents and everyone in the living room? And
yes.
That was how.
Brian in Wisconsin, let's take your phone call. I've only got 2 minutes to go. Brian, what's up?
Hey, real quick question. I enjoy the show, and so you don't have to do the 12-day cleanse, Rich. How about if you do Catch Rich Catch? Okay, yeah. And then new you iteration. Can catch him from Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Kurt Warner, John Elway, set the distance, 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards, and then to get NFL players involved, recreate old catches.
Or the gauntlet, like the combine drill, the gauntlet. You just get some of the all-time great quarterbacks throwing.
And donations for every passion catch.
That way you don't have to worry about the cleanse, and you can still raise money for St. Jude's.
Brian, Wisconsin, everybody.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, that's a great idea. I like that. Yes. I like that, son.
Great idea. And your logo, too. You don't have to have a suit. You can have yourself with the shirt tucked out.
I like it. And the best part about it is the fact that you're being able to be heard right now. The guy who connected you to the radio show and television audience, Jay Felly, is the one guy who thought I wouldn't be able to catch every pass the rest of the season as I did.
How many was that?
Thank
total?
You, Brian. It had to be well over 50. Well over 50.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it was 20 against Irvin and
one
that's
true.
Segment.
That's a good one. Okay. You did catch 20.
And then there's rehearsing and there's practicing. I didn't drop one even off camera.
Well, you could tell us anything, though, about that. Like, we didn't see that.
Capital idea, Brian, because one day I'm not going to run this thing. But I want to keep this thing
Rich
going.
Rich, you always got them hands, though, baby. You might not be the run. You got them hands, son.
They're like a diamond.
Watch out to get out with these hands.
A diamond. Fun show today, gents.
Yes, indeed.